Welcome to The V-Word, recorded here in the studios of WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond's independent radio. Carol Olson, your host, and I'm sitting here with Todd Sinnell, one of the protesters at the Women's March that happened on January 21st. So Todd, tell us what brought you to going to the Women's March.
I think one thing has always been I've been surrounded by amazing women my whole life. So, you know, that was a big part of it, just kind of viewing the, I don't know, kind of stepping in their shoes for a moment and kind of thinking, if I were to see this country going on the path it's going, to see their rights taken away, taking their rights questioned, and then also other people I love who are either people of color or other minorities, my other LGBT allies and friends, I questioned, if these voices are not being heard, what does that put us at risk for? And so, you know, to be honest, I know a few of us, we were cautious. We were kind of scared to go up there, you know, to go up to the protest, just considering the mood of everything and just the possibility that people are stupid and, you know, would act out in some way against the people protesting. So had to really kind of tackle that for a while. And I think it was almost even a last minute decision where, like, this means too much to not go up, you know, to be part of this. So, you know, there was, I think, a lot of components to all of that, just knowing that people who are really close to me can be really affected by the way our country is going, you know, and decisions being made from people who don't necessarily have it in them to step in the shoes of those that they're speaking for, you know. So that was a huge contributing factor in that regard.
As someone who identifies as gay and is heavily involved in the LGBTQ community, mm-hmm. When you were up there protesting, did you also feel some affinity for protesting some of the issues, the rolling back of rights that are happening for the LGBTQ community?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, and that was very much, I think, confirmed by the crowd that was there. Because, I mean, you saw so many messages. I think there was just kind of this collective desire to be heard just as a person who is being marginalized in some way. And it doesn't necessarily matter, you know, where you fit in with that. I think everyone was just there for each other. And I think that really validated that sense that we all do support each other in this cause. And I mean, I saw countless posters about that, you know, people holding posters that referred to, you know, being either LGBT or an ally, and what that meant, being part of history, you know, and not wanting to be quieted. And I think we could all just relate, especially in that role. I mean, that's kind of one of my biggest values, is almost just to towards myself, is to, like, trust my voice. So kind of knowing that everyone is kind of seeking that was unifying. And so, I don't know, you could see a lot of couples, you know, same-sex couples, a lot of people who were representative of the transgender community, and just being able to be themselves within that. And that was kind of one of those things where I think that caution I had before I went up there completely, like, melted away, because, like, I was there with my boyfriend and we could, like, just be with one another, you know, and not have any fear, because even children were there, like, who were, you know, having that same message of, you know, inclusion. Open-mindedness, yeah, and inclusion. And I think that was just very warming. So I think we felt like, okay, we can actually be ourselves, and that's what we're seeking. You know, that's all we want. You know, it's just to be able to love one another and love ourselves and not question, you know, that this is part of us and someone hates us for it, you know, or feels they need to do anything about that. So I think just that outpouring of unification just, I think, brought in that same, or I guess that my part in, like, kind of the LGBT community, you know, I did see that there. So that was definitely visible, you know, and great.
There's been statements made or complaints or concerns or awareness that white heterosexual women were kind of late to this party. Mm-hmm. And yet they don't. It just visually, it appeared they might have dominated the Women's March.
Yeah.
What do you think the role is for the white heterosexual community in this protest or in the movement that's starting to form?
I think one, I mean, it's to kind of recognize that there is privilege to that, you know, is to like be aware that, you know, there is this history of white women being heard. And I think it's a lot of it is supporting the other people of color within this movement and really elevating them. You know, if you're going to support this, you need to support Black Lives Matter, you know. And I don't say you have to, but you should really kind of place an emphasis on bringing their message out. And if someone's not understanding their message, kind of help them understand, you know, get some clarification. What I did find nice was that a lot of the speakers at the march were African American and had a lot of messages that they were sharing. So that was nice to hear their voice being more powerful at that in that way. But what I found unfortunate after that was it was more of like the celebrity statements that were probably more heard. So that was kind of like
they got the press.
They got the press. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Again, it was like Madonna and, you know, Scarlett Johansson, again, white women. Mm-hmm. So I think some of the most powerful messages came from some of the African-American women who were there, or just women of color who had messages to speak on behalf of like their children who had been either killed or, you know, had been marginalized in some ways. And when I think about how we spread that message, can we get their voices heard more, you know, elevate their voices over some of, you know, the more hateful messages that maybe the celebrity voices had, you know, as powerful as their messages were. I think some of the more personal stories were, I think, to me, I don't know, more of what I wanted to hear, you know, more of what I would want to pass on to someone and kind of know, like, this is how it really affects us, you know, affects us as a community, affects them as community, and they're part of this whole movement right here that we're trying to be a part of. So let's let them be heard.
They appear to be bringing the more inclusive voice to encompass everyone, you know, where the history of, say, white feminine has not been as inclusive. So it's certainly time for intersectionality to be the movement we interact in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks so much for coming on The V-Word.
Thank you for having me.
It's great. And we hope to have you back. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
The V-Word is produced in the studios of WRIR 97.3 FM, produced by Carol Olson. And to learn more about The V-Word and to hear the full show, please go to thevword.org. For more information about independent radio, please go to wrir.org.